All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. That's what we're out here for. All right. So, tons of stuff. Did you get logged in? Did you get that yet? Are you still waiting? Okay, good. All right, we'll check on that in a minute. But tons of stuff out there in the news right now. I mean, like, so what's really nice is it felt almost like a quiet weekend, like there was not another one of those massive Biden stories or something. You know, it's like we're lingering through, but tons of stuff's happening nonetheless. I mean, not all good, but one of the major stories right now is the question of the Artemis 1 mission. And if you're not tracking this, and by the way, I gotta confess, man. I mean, it's not like I'm not a total techie here. I'm not constantly like monitoring the NASA websites and but I'm fascinated by it nonetheless. And the Artemis 1 mission is the beginning of the next round of putting men's feet on the moon. I mean, that's the way it's styled right now. And it's more than that. It's way more than that. I mean, there's so many things wrapped up in that I'm discovering here just in getting ready for today's show even that I did not know. Did not know, by the way, how much of an impact, once again, Alabama has had on the Artemis missions, the next round of space exploration. It's just incredible. This state is literally on the forefront of the most amazing technologies that the world's ever known. Again, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, because I say all that. I mean, I grew up, I have memories. So as a kid, I have memories of when, some of the original spacewalks took place. I can remember, and I was too young to understand. I didn't know what was happening, but I can remember, I still have this distinct memory. And in fact, and I got to look back now and figure out which one it was. I remember Dad was in Vietnam. So we were living in an apartment on Patton Road, right outside of what used to be called Gate 8 for Redstone. And we were living there, and I believe my aunt was visiting because my aunt and my mom were watching one of the moon launches or the actually the spacewalks. And they were just like beside themselves. One of them, I think my aunt had just walked in the kitchen, and my mom called her, "Sissy, you got to come back in here. You won't believe what he just did." You know, and me, I'm just a kid. I'm just running around like a knucklehead. I could care less that history is being made on my TV set. But it was still amazing to know that was during my lifetime. You know, and on top of that, I can remember how many of y'all in the Huntsville listening area, how many of y'all remember being around Huntsville when all the rocket engines, they still are, but when the rocket engines were being tested so much back in the 60s and 70s? I mean, so the I mean, literally the ground would shake. My grandparents' house, and my grandfather was, he was post commander at Redstone. He was one of the project managers for the original Hawk missile. So granddaddy had a ton of time out at Redstone, but I remember literally as a kid, every once in a while you'd be sitting there and all of a sudden it was like an earthquake, and it would last for a good 10 seconds. They were testing another rocket engine out at Redstone, and where we lived in South Huntsville, you could feel it. You could feel it. It would come across the ground. Sometimes you could hear it. And then sometimes it was a quick one, like just a big boom, and everything would shake. The windows would rattle sometimes. It was crazy. And that was just part of living in South Huntsville at the time. Wouldn't trade it for the world. It kind of gave this unique air to what was going on in Huntsville, in Alabama. And then on top of that, you know, I did a lot of my growing up. Of course, Dad was Army, so we moved quite a bit. I've lived all over the place and kept coming back because this is home. Grandparents were all here. My father's parents were in Birmingham. My mother's parents were in Huntsville. And then, of course, like I said, the military piece was big in our lives. And then I'll never forget, though, coming back here, you know, I started off early. I went to Chaffee Elementary. Well, Chaffee's named after astronaut Roger Chaffee, who died in 1967 when one of the Apollo missions caught fire on the landing pad or on the launch pad, along with, and I graduated from Grissom High School, named for astronaut Gus Grissom, who was also there too. And then, of course, you know, there's an astronaut White. So the three of them died. And we have monuments in the form of schools named for them right here in Alabama. So much of what is happening right now, when we get back from this next break, I've got a stack of stuff here. As I've tried to become a quick study on what these Artemis missions are about. And if you want to call in, I'll tell you what I'd love to have is anybody who's worked on any of the components to the Artemis mission, love to have you call in. I'd like to hear your thoughts. We're going to spend the first little bit of the show here just talking about the Artemis missions and the fact that we are going back to the moon. Love to get your perspective on it. The phone number here, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Your thoughts on Artemis? Have you been involved with it? Thousands across North Alabama have. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm talking, we're spanning south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Solid conservative and just plain right. I got one caller. Oh, yeah, it's Brian. Okay, Brian from Huntsville on line one. Brian, how you doing today, bud?
Mighty fine, and I appreciate the nostalgia there, and glad that Artemis did not blow up or anything because it's much better to have a little disappointment than a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You remember, were you around back in the day when all the testing was going on and shake the ground in South Huntsville?
Oh, yeah. I was in kindergarten when the first moon landing happened and they pulled out a black and white television in the little kindergarten I was going to. And I remember that. But also, yeah, my mom, I'm not going to say the name, she was back then, she's a retired rocket scientist. Oh. She was one of a group of three primary more in there that actually made solid rocket fuel propellant for the Pershing 1A,
wow,
the MLRS, and the Patriot system. I got no idea how I fell so far from the tree, but
I did. We'll keep you, but
I appreciate that.
Yeah, very cool. Well, Brian, thanks, man. We appreciate you as always. And all right, bud. Have a good day.
Yep.
I mean, there's so much history in the space program right here in Huntsville. It's in the state of Alabama has just been at the forefront. Wherever you are in the listening area of this show right now, just know this and be proud of the fact you live in a state that is part of the reason why we have a space program, period. I mean, that's why, you know, Dr. Wernher von Braun, actually, he lived in Huntsville. I mean, and bringing that rocket technology over from World War II, and taking it to the next levels, beyond the next levels. But then some of the greatest discoveries in the realm of space exploration came through efforts by scientists and engineers and others in the Huntsville area. Just amazing what's come out of Redstone Arsenal. Absolutely amazing. Well, listen, so I got a series of articles here that sort of detail what this Artemis one. If you're not familiar with Artemis, and I got to be honest, man, I wasn't. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed by the fact that I wasn't. I mean, I'm looking at it going, how did I not clue in? I guess because I've been so focused on, you know, political and fiscal news and things like that that you can get almost to the point that you're sort of myopic, like your vision is only in one direction and you're not your tunnel vision in a sense. Well, here's the story in the Guardian. Dated today, The Guardian, Artemis 1 conditioning issue forces NASA rocket launch postponement. So understand this, if you didn't already know, you may already by now, Artemis was supposed to launch this morning. And this is the biggest launch since the 70s. I mean, we had, of course, the shuttle launches, those were huge. But this is the first in terms of reaching a manned moon mission in 50 years. So for the first time in 50 years, this article from The Guardian says, An effort to ferry humans to and from the moon is underway. But in this particular case, they had issues with the rocket engine. I don't know what this means. Didn't get the high accuracy temperature they were looking for is what it says. I don't know what that means. I'm sure some of you rocket surgeons out there understand that, but I don't. But the reality is they had to postpone the launch. They had three launch dates selected. So the next one is on the list for, what day is the September 2nd? I think it's Thursday, Friday?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Okay, good deal. This is the Space Launch System is the name of it, the SLS rocket, scheduled to take off from NASA's Cape Canaveral. It's almost as big as the Saturn V, the one that anytime anybody's ever driven out in Huntsville towards the airport, you see the Space and Rocket Center, and there's that giant Saturn V rocket. Well, it's actually almost as big as that, not quite. Saturn V is still the biggest, and I kind of almost feel like out of respect it should stay that way. But they're looking at the first one's going to be an unmanned. It's a 1.3 million mile test mission, if you will. It's a 42-day long mission. It's going to take the Orion orbiter vehicle 40,000 miles past the far side of the moon, and then bring it back to Earth. Taxpayers, it's not cheap. I mean, you ain't doing this on the cheap, y'all. $93 billion program. $93 billion. All right. That's huge. But NASA insists the cost will be justified. And one NASA administrator, a former space shuttle astronaut himself, Bill Nelson, said, "This is now the Artemis generation." He says, "We were in the Apollo generation, but this is a new generation. This is a new type of astronaut." So 1819 News did a piece on this last October, believe it or not. How did I miss that? 1819 News titled "America's Next Giant Leap from Alabama, NASA's Most Powerful Rocket Ever Built." And they give a great history. This is a great article. So it was from October 22nd of last year. It starts off by saying, beginning in 1958, Redstone Arsenal Army engineers in Huntsville were the pioneering rocketeers that America turned to answer the 1957 Soviet Sputnik satellite that caused a wave of fear around the nation. If you remember, Soviets were first in space. But we were first on the moon, and we also helped put up the first American space station. Alabama engineers did. We helped put up the first man on the moon in 1969, the first space station in orbit in 1973, the space shuttle in 1981. I remember in high school, by the way, when the first shuttle landed, I don't know why I was not able to be in this class that they were actually watching. So I was that kid, right? Give me an opportunity to take a hall pass to the bathroom, and I might disappear for an hour. You just didn't never knew. But I literally was walking down the hall, looked in the door of the AV room or something at this big gathering room they had in the center of Grissom High School, the old Grissom High School, and I saw these folks gather on the TV, and I said, "What are y'all doing? We're about to watch the shuttle land." "Really?" I just stayed. I don't know what class I was supposed to be in, but I stayed to watch the shuttle land live, and it was so cool. Well, the interim stage for the SLS, the Space Launch System, was built right here in Decatur at United Launch Alliance. And Artemis 1 is unmanned, but the goal is, I think, Artemis 2, which flies like 6 months or so from now, is supposed to be a manned mission to orbit the moon and return. And then the Artemis 3, if I'm not mistaken, is supposed to be the one that literally puts men on the moon again. There's no presidential declaration right now to work with. We're not trying to beat a foreign power. So this time they're saying that speed is less of a factor. It's more in tune with being absolutely safe. I mean, and rightfully so. We've had the Columbia, the Challenger. We've had the Apollo mission, like I said, with Chaffee and White and Grissom. We've lost astronauts in the past. Can you imagine strapping yourself to the top of a giant firework and launching into space? That's the heat right there, man. But anyway, it says right here in this article from 1819, the overall objective of Artemis 1 is to prove that the entire concept behind the whole SLS system, the Orion spacecraft, and all the mission concepts are sound. And not only are they launching the Orion orbiter and landing craft, but they are also launching 10 secondary payloads, and they're little, they're miniature, they're like shoebox size satellites. They call them CubeSats. Each one has different missions. One of those CubeSats is actually pretty cool. It's going to do something that's never been done, but it's always been talked about. It's called the Near-Earth Asteroid Scout CubeSat. It's going to use a solar sail. It's going to catch solar winds, and it's just basically going to fly to a nearby small near-Earth asteroid and study it up close. So these little CubeSats are going to kick out once they get going. This is all just fascinating me. I'm not a techie, but I sound like I am total space geek right now. Like I am to boldly go where no man. Anyway, we are looking at some amazing things happening. So what else are they carrying? They got the CubeSats. They've also got mannequins. This almost feels weird. They've got mannequins, one of which is the they call them Moonikins, actually. I think that's rather. That's a scientist joke, all right? They're Moonikins. They got three Moonikins in there. The first one is a full-size dummy in an orange flight suit occupying the commander seat. He's rigged up with all kinds of vibration and acceleration cylinders, or sensors, excuse me. They're doing a lot to test radiation on the human body. The two other mannequins are actually made of material that simulates human tissue. One's a female, one's a male torso. They don't have any limbs. This feels very awkward to me. They'll measure cosmic radiation, and I don't know why. I'm sure there's a story. Like one of the Moonikin in the commander seat is called Moonikin Campos. It's actually named in honor of one of the NASA engineers. All right. The other two, though, are named Helga and Zohar. I don't know why. I'm looking at Boomer like, help me, man.
That's Helga, that's good.
Helga and Zohar.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's funny. I mean,
where do they get the names?
Who knows? Maybe it was just one of those things. Hey, what about this name?
Well, I don't know. Let's call him Bubba. He's from, it's an Alabama mannequin, man. Name it Bubba. Yeah, here we go. Bubba and Mary Jane. I don't know. We're just, but anyway, nope. We got Helga and Zohar. Okay, great. The Helga and Zohar dummies are testing all kinds of impacts of flight. They've got all kinds of biological experiments on there with seeds, fungi, yeast, algae. Here's something I found rather interesting. They've got a voice recognition system on board called Callisto that they're testing. Callisto was developed jointly by Amazon, Cisco Systems, and Lockheed. It basically is going to test how Amazon's Alexa works in a space capsule. Okay, this is really getting into, this is like Jarvis now. You know, this is like getting into.
Yeah, total like Iron Man Jarvis.
Yeah.
Hey, Jarvis.
Or like, what was it, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
You know, yeah, you got the voice that you speak to. And it says, things will be well, Hal. Don't give it a creepy voice, whatever you do. But is this going to be like, Alexa, play my soundtrack while I'm circling the moon? I mean, is that what they're going
to do? Or do I get to go, hey, Alexa, do we tell me what the temperature is on the space shuttle?
Alexa, go ahead and trigger the boosters. No, not now. You know, I don't know. But yeah, cool stuff.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Man. I got a little bit more. Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come back and wrap this up. Artemis 1 underway. Now, it's not off the pad yet, but it's launching hopefully this week. And there's a lot of cool factor involved in this. But you know what? There's a whole lot of Alabama involved in this. Gotta love it. Right here, the Rocket City, and, you know, surrounding areas. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Who was that text from a minute ago, man? What was that? What you, remember what you,
yeah, we got a call that someone was just dying laughing about all the Alexa stuff. And we also got a text from Big Dave.
Big Dave runs the board down there in Birmingham.
Yeah, he said we were setting Alexa off, you know, everywhere that's listening right now, which made me laugh a lot.
Can we do that?
I don't know. Maybe we can. Alexa.
Alexa, turn off the people's cars. Alexa. Alexa, please start the refrigerator ice maker. Alexa, please play the children's song list nonstop and don't allow it to be turned off. That's it. Oh, God. Thanks, Big Dave. Appreciate you, man. What you do down there running that board for us on the Birmingham stations. We are affiliated, or we are syndicated, I'm sorry, across the greater half of North Alabama and really all of North Alabama. And yeah, we got the Birmingham Crawford stations, WXJC 101.1 FM. We got their AM WYDE also. We got our Huntsville Cumulus Broadcasting stations, 92.5 FM, 770 AM. I mean, literally, if you are in North Alabama, you can pick up our signal now, which is just so cool, including, like I like to say sometimes, parts of Tennessee, Georgia, and Mississippi. So all y'all, North Clanton, all y'all North Clanton, we got you covered. All right, finishing up this segment here. By the way, top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to switch topics at the 3 o'clock hour and go to the phones. State Senator Jabbo Wagner, who has been serving in the Alabama State Senate now for many moons, but Senator Wagner has been battling over issues related to the Birmingham Waterworks Board. Like, you may be thinking, why is this a story? Well, if you get water in Jefferson, St. Clair, Blount, Shelby, and Walker counties, you're probably getting it from the Birmingham Waterworks Board, which is one of the most grossly mismanaged quasi-governmental entities in the state. And it's just unbelievable the things that I remember distinctly having to deal with it as a state senator, and I'll tell you about that later. That's coming up top of the hour. Hey, finishing up this section on the Artemis space program. So, I mean, okay, where do I want to? I got a series of things. First of all, how does Artemis compare to the Saturn V? Saturn V that put the men on the moon, right? Saturn V that even, you know, I think launched the space station, the first space station. So the SLS, the Space Launch System that NASA is planning to launch on Monday, is the biggest rocket capable of carrying humans since the Saturn V Apollo moon rocket. Development of both deep space rockets was led by NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Here's how the two compare. So the Saturn V, the one you see standing out there alongside the interstate at the Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, is 363 feet tall. The SLS, the new one, is 322. So Saturn V is still taller. Saturn V weighs 6.2 million pounds. SLS weighs 5.7 million pounds. Saturn V can take 100,000 pounds of payload lift capability to the moon. SLS can take 154,000 pounds. So literally it's smaller, but it can carry like a third more. That's pretty significant. And then the capsules, the Orion capsule sits up atop the SLS. It can hold 4 crew members. The Apollo that sat on top of the Saturn V, it could carry 3. They both have similar shapes, but inside are what, you know, you would imagine are huge advances in technology. I mean, right now we've got more technology in our current smartphones than they had in the original lunar modules that went up on the Saturn V.
That blows my mind.
I know.
Wow.
I know. But, you know, and we take it for granted, totally take it for granted. Like, if you get outside of cell coverage, it's like, what just happened? Why can't I get cell coverage? Well, I mean, they were like, you know, trying to reach, you know, low Earth orbit and barely talking to Cape Canaveral. And that was back in the day. All right. What else have I got here on this topic? So, story on AL.com dated August 23rd. So just what, a week, 6 days ago? The Artemis moon launch attempt means eyes are on Alabama. And this is a great article. I don't always like AL.com's pieces, but this one is straight up. It says, if nothing changes, America's space agency will attempt in less than a week to launch its next-generation giant rocket, the SLS. The Artemis 1, it's called Artemis because that's the twin sister of Apollo. Oh, I get it. Okay, that's the twin sister of Apollo. This is the first of 3 missions towards taking Americans back to the moon. The second mission will be a crewed flight around the moon. The third would be a landing. I believe the landing is scheduled for 2025. I think, if I'm not mistaken. And it's literally covered up with engineers from Marshall Space Flight Center, and the fact that this has been something that has been pressing forward with effort being made by U.S. Senator Richard Shelby and others in the U.S. delegation from Robert Aderholt. Boomer, did you tell me you have some special outro music for this one?
Yeah, I got a little special outro music.
Do you?
I do. It'll be coming up in just a second for you.
How long have I got do you have to kick that
one? You got about 50 seconds.
50? Like 5-0?
Well, now like 40.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, this is going to be, by the way, 1819 had another story that said that this is the most powerful rocket ever built, ever, in the history of ever. It's going to be amazing to watch. I'm looking forward to see. I hope it makes it off the ground, but safety, of course, being primary, but I hope it makes it off the ground here in the next few days, September 2nd. I know what you're going to play.
Do you?
Yes.
Here you go. You ready for it?
I'm ready, bud. Yeah.
Fly me to the moon.
Only appropriate.
Nice. Among the stars. I'll be singing this rest. This is such a cool song.
Let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
We'll take this one all the way to the top of the hour, y'all. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.
Baby, kiss
solid
me.
Conservative and just plain right, baby. We'll be right back.
Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out.